Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
Looks like I picked the wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Holy Shit for October 2nd, 2019. I am your co-host, Patsy Zarilla.
And I'm your other co-host, Frank Natel.
Frank, we had an interesting day today. Without getting into a whole lot of socializing, kind of want to get into it right away. Our fearless leader had a presser with the president of Finland, I believe.
Yeah.
And apparently he went off the rails, and I'm not talking about the Finnish president. You watched the whole thing. Can you help us out?
Yeah, I mean there were some great moments in this. Great in the sense of, like, if you really want to see somebody coming unhinged, the number 45 president of the United States of America sat there and just went on a stream of consciousness. Literally ranting about, you know, just his talking points and the things that he wants to try to say to communicate to his base. And it was like just like verbal throwing up of garbage, you know. And some of the most, I guess, funniest but sad quotes that were coming out of his mouth in this stream of consciousness, he just went right into saying something like, yeah, Shifty Schiff. I call him Shifty Schiff because, you know, here's a guy who made up something that I said. And, you know, do you believe it? This guy doesn't support one of the best secretaries of state we've ever had. This secretary of state, one of the greatest we've ever had. I'll tell you, he graduated top of his class from West Point, and he graduated top of his class from Harvard Law School. And do you believe it? He doesn't support him. That tells you how bad he is. He couldn't hold his blank strap. And I won't say the word because they'll say I'm bad for saying it. But he couldn't hold Mike Pompeo's blank strap. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what Trump said, looked at the reporter and said, you know what I'm saying? And that was in the midst of sitting with the president of Finland and talking to the media about the impeachment thing. And he was saying the impeachment's a joke. It's a made up thing. Nancy Pelosi should get to work on trying to save people on Medicare costs or medical costs. But, you know, never answering anything about the fact that the transcript that was given from the White House specifically states that he asked for a favor. He doesn't address that. He tries to say that it was made up by Adam Schiff. And then he goes into that whole tirade about why he calls him Shifty Schiff. And he just really, like, jumped from those points to those points to those points. As I've just said, it was utterly amazing that the president of the United States was speaking this way on national TV.
I guess it's one of those things where, you know, you have somebody who, I believe we said it last week, Frank, just because you're a character doesn't mean you have character. And, you know, this guy is a character, all right. And it's becoming more and more obvious that he doesn't have character. Just to, you know, put this in perspective for just a second. The last president to face impeachment basically was impeached because he lied about getting a blowjob in the Oval Office. Okay?
Yep.
This is somebody who has had to basically explain to Hillary Clinton every fucking night that, no, I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. I couldn't, you know, talk about being under some pressure. And you never would have known by the way he acted. You never would have known by his pressers. You never would have known by his demeanor on behind the podium with another president or, you know, some head of state or something like that. Instead, you know, well, I don't mean instead, but let's fast forward a few years to this clown, and you're seeing somebody who doesn't have the ability to be questioned or to lead. it's just not in his DNA to do it. And he, as pressure mounts, you're seeing it, it's becoming more and more obvious. He just can't do it.
No, he's acted more like Nixon did when Nixon was in the throes of the impeachment inquiry that had begun on him. There wasn't a full House vote ever taken on Nixon, but Nixon knew that he was in trouble. And as he just, he spiraled and descended into madness, literally. And that's what you're seeing Trump do right now. He's, and you know what, quite frankly, I think that the people who were afraid of coming forward and were afraid of speaking out about him are less afraid to do so now. And you see more and more things. And you and I doing this podcast on Wednesdays, we used to joke and say it's great Wednesdays because it's the middle of the week and we usually have something that comes up right in a timely fashion. Well, now, Master Patsy, there's things that come up every 15 minutes. You know, we could literally be talking almost, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and have new content with this president and the things that are coming out about him. So, you know, Nixon was a paranoid person and he let the leaks and the information that was coming out about him drive him into madness. He became at least a temporary alcoholic. He was turning to alcohol to drown his way out of reality that he was facing at that time. But you see Trump just descending into madness right
now. Yeah, you really do. This is literally somebody who cannot handle his position any longer. He cannot do it. You know, his predecessor had to endure this clown's 6 years of telling the world that the president isn't an American, right? He had to endure GOP senators yelling at him during his State of the Union address, yelling that he's a liar. And he handled it with grace and dignity and didn't act like a child. And I don't care if you agree with this person's policies, or if you agree with, you know, if you're as racist as he is and, you know, that's what you want, you know, whatever it is. I still do not understand, and maybe it is the martial artist in me, I don't know. I still do not understand being able to just discount this behavior and say, you know what, as long as these things are happening, I'm all for it. He can act any way he likes, I don't care. I simply do not understand why you refuse to hold somebody to a standard.
Yeah. And to that point, Master Patsy, I want to bring something up to, if we actually have Trump listeners that ever listen to this show and that will ever have the guts to listen to this and hear the reality of what, you know, what they've supported. I want to say this to that point. You made a great point about Clinton and what the way he was able to compose himself through that process of the impeachment that he endured. You know, he lied, so he had to face the comeuppance for that. But he continued about his business while he was going through it. And you can go back and look historically at the policies that were enacted and the leadership that he was providing during that time frame, which was quite amazing. And he still acted as the president. You also go back and look at Obama, as you said, as he endured, you know, the idiocy of, you know, calling him somebody who wasn't born in America, having to defend his birth certificate, having to be called, quote unquote, a liar. Compare that to Trump, who lies constantly, and we've caught him in lies constantly. But yet he continued to affect policy, meaning Obama continued to affect policy through all that. Being yelled at for wearing a tan suit, you know, just the silliness, the craziness that he had to go through. So let's go fast forward to Trump. Trump told the American people, and I hate this about him, but he told the American people, and he sold his believers and his followers on this. He said, I alone can save you. I alone can change all these problems that we're facing. I'm the only one. I'm the chosen one. I can do all these things because I'm me. And I'm appointed and anointed to be here. And his followers believe that God put him here. Okay, listen, if you're all that, and then you turn around and say, it's the Democrats' fault that nothing's getting done. Well, wait a minute, sucker. Wait a minute, you son of a bitch. You just told everybody you can do it all. You can do it all, you son of a bitch. Well, why aren't you doing anything then? What have you accomplished, you piece of shit? He hasn't accomplished a damn thing. Not only that, he sits there and says, oh, it's the Democrats' fault that the economy's in the tank. The stock market's going down. It's all their fault because of this impeachment nonsense. But yet he's the economic genius, right? Listen, I've been watching my stocks for the last, I watch them every day and I watch them every month. I try not to watch too closely because I don't want to panic. I know that the best time to buy is when it's down. But let me tell you something. Since 6 months ago, the impeachment wasn't in process 6 months ago to now, and it's been a steady decline. It hasn't been an overnight drop. My retirement account has lost $9,000. What are you doing, Trump? You alone can save us. You alone can take care of all this. That's what you told everybody. Now why are you going to blame it on them and say, I can't overcome this because they're too strong for me? No, you could do everything. That's what you told everybody.
I remember him saying it was simple, too. How many times did he say it's simple? It's simple, yeah. You know, over and over and over again. I'll never understand how people can take this. So I'll tell you a good story, Frank. It happened yesterday, and I'm not going to mention names or where we were, but a couple of friends of mine were talking about this impeachment thing, and both of them very, very right-leaning. And I happened to hear him as I walked past, and I turned around and I stopped, and I said, guys, let me ask you something. Let me ask you guys something. And they said, what's that? And I said, you know, whenever we voted for Reagan and Reagan was in the White House, everything he campaigned on and everything that he said and every stance he took told you that this was going to become a very, very selfish country. We were going to start becoming very, very selfish, and we were going to start looking out for ourselves and quit looking out for each other. And lo and behold, that's what happened. Whenever Obama was elected president, it was pretty obvious that you were going to see a lot of minorities become a little bit more empowered. And lo and behold, that's what happened. How the hell do you guys look at this clown you elected and not expect the circus to come with it?
Right.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
I don't get them. I don't get these people, and they and just like him, there's every excuse in the world. Right? And I remember being told quite a few times, not directly, but very indirectly, you know, you snowflake, we won, get over it.
Right.
You know? Okay. You know what? Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Going back earlier in the day, because all of this happened, let's say, within the last, couple hours?
Yes.
New York Times reporting a quote from Representative Elijah Cummings, who to me is like an absolute hero. He is the chairman of the Oversight and Reform Committee. House Democrats said Wednesday they plan to subpoena the White House by Friday if it did not comply with broad requests for documents related to President Trump's efforts to pressure Ukraine into investigating a leading political candidate and any attempt by the admin to conceal its actions. The quote by Representative Cummings was, and again, going back to the contrast that you see, right? His quote was, I do not take this step lightly. Over the past several weeks, the committee's tried several times to obtain voluntary compliance with our request for documents, but the White House has refused to engage with or even respond to the committees. You sit here and you listen to how these folks are talking. Schiff wrote, Congressman Schiff stated, we're not fooling around here. We don't want this to drag on for months and months and months, which would be the administration strategy. So they just need to know, even as they try to undermine our ability to find the facts around the president's effort to coerce a foreign leader to create dirt, he can use it against a political opponent. They will be strengthening the case for obstruction. So basically, what the Democrats are saying here, and maybe it is political, as we said, because it's happening in Congress, and everything that happens in Congress is political by definition. They're at least making it look like they're not doing this because they have a political agenda. They're doing this finally because they don't have any choice, right? The president's out of control. But it's funny how you're looking at the contrast between how the Republicans and particularly the president are handling things, and the way the Democrats are handling things. Look at how they're acting. Look at how they're conducting themselves. Right?
Yeah.
You're seeing people who are at least appear that they're in control. Okay, that they're calm, they're collected, and somebody who's just going off the rails. And again, yeah, to me, it goes back, and you heard me say this word a couple times already, it goes back to character.
It absolutely does. And, you know, to your point, Nancy Pelosi, this past weekend, she was at a conference, and she was very somber, the tone that she took was not, you know, in any way dancing on Trump's grave or excited about the impeachment process. The words that she used were things like, we were hoping when we opened this inquiry that we see something exculpatory. She wanted to see something that would explain the president's behavior on this call and make it so that it wasn't equal to high crimes and misdemeanors, that it wasn't, didn't look like he was soliciting the help of a foreign country to get dirt on his opponent. She said, but, you know, that's not what we're finding. And we really need to engage in a lot of prayer about this process. And I think I was, you know, so smart on her part, because first of all, she's appealing to folks who, you know, if you truly do care about what our country stands for, and if you truly are a patriot and you truly are somebody that's on the quote unquote, you know, the religious right, then she's saying to them, look, I'm not here to get your guy. I want what's best for the country. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our situation. And we need to pray for this inquiry so that the best result happens. You know, and I know that the people who are religious right behind Trump, they don't care about any of that. They don't care. But let's bring a third element into the conversation that you just talked about, because I agree with you that the Democrats are conducting themselves in a pretty solemn, reasonable way, and the Republicans are truly off the rails. You watched that Kevin McCarthy interview the other day where he just sounded like an idiot. He didn't know what the words in the report said. But let's bring a third party into this, a third element. The bureaucrats, the unelected people. Because the Republicans are elected and they're afraid of the base, the Trump base, and they have to act a fool to get in line behind Trump to try to show their base that they're supporting their guy. But the Republicans who are unelected and that are in the White House and that are appointed by Trump and other Republicans, they don't have to rely upon that base to keep their jobs. But they're seeing the scary as shit stuff that's going on in that White House. And they're saying, to my point earlier, they're not afraid anymore. They're coming forward and saying, this guy's lost his mind. You know what he said last March? You know what he said in March? He wants to build a moat along the border and fill it with snakes and alligators and put pointy tops to the wall and electrify it. And he wants to have immigrants shot in the legs. And, you know, the president says, oh, that's garbage. That's a lie. That's fake news, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, if you go back and look at his tweet from that same time period, he displayed a fence in his tweet, a wall in his tweet that had pointy, sharp edges at the top.
And there you go. Right. Yeah. There you go. You know, just for sake of clarity, statistically speaking, when somebody is supposedly intentionally shot in the leg, 40% of the time they're shot in the abdomen. So trust me, only somebody who trains cops would know that. Okay. But anyhow, that's crazy. I just wanted to throw that out there kind of on the side.
And it goes to the point that this guy is so unhinged that he doesn't realize that if he's intentionally instructing people who are protecting our border to preemptively open fire on somebody, even with the intent of just quote unquote slowing them down, you're going to shoot them in a vital part of their body that's going to probably kill them.
4 out of 10 times. Yeah. Right. Another big reason why folks are taught to shoot at center mass. Not the only reason, but it's a factor. This idea, well, it just goes back to say just how unhinged this guy is and how totally unfit he is for his job, right? He can't do it. But speaking of unfit, and there's something I've been waiting, Frank. I've been waiting for this pod to ask you this thing. Okay. I want to turn your attention to one Rudy Giuliani. I have countless questions for you concerning this clown. But here's my biggest question for you. And it goes to procedure and it goes to rules. So I want you to explain to people who are listening. He's claiming that he did all of this work on behest of the Defense Department, I believe it was, this trip to the Ukraine. And I believe he got on Fox News and he has his phone out, then he had his iPad out, and he's showing all the text that him and somebody from the Defense Department had. And then asked if he would testify, if he was invited to testify, would he go? He claimed that it would be up to the discretion of his client, in this case, Trump. How can he can't claim privilege now, can he?
No, I mean not authentically, because he's not employed. At best, he was a government contractor on this issue of getting involved with the Department of Defense, you know, on the trip, et cetera. At best, he's a government contractor. And that's to, you know, a cabinet department that I guess you could allege, you know, the cabinet is part of the president's executive. But
he's the president's personal attorney.
Right. And that's what I was getting at. That he's okay. ultimately, you know, his relationship to the president, the direct line relationship to the president, is that he's his personal attorney. And yeah, I mean, he could assert privilege, attorney-client privilege, on things like, for example, if you and I sat down and I said, I need you to talk to me about how we're going to build your, you know, I want to talk about how you're going to build your martial arts presence throughout, you know, Lawrence County, Beaver County, and ultimately, you know, Pennsylvania. I want you to let's plan strategically how you're going to do that. And you and I speak, and you give me the strategy, and you give me the ideas, and then you tell me I need you as my attorney to like make sure that I'm protected from liability, that I'm protected from improper, you know, tax exposure, improper permit problems, and things like that. So those are strategy sessions. And you can say, look, my attorney and I have privilege. You can't ask him about those sessions where we talked about planning, how I was going to, you know, build this empire of dojos across Pennsylvania. However, if you say to me, Frank, I want to break the law. I have these taxable, this taxable income, but I want you to hide it. And in fact, I've been hiding it, and here's how I want you to continue hiding it. Well, that's illegal, and there is no privilege for such. You can't assert privilege for that. So, you know, on two fronts. One, he's not got executive privilege to the president because he's a personal attorney. And secondly, if they've engaged in criminal conduct, if they've engaged in planning about criminal conduct, there is no privilege that protects you from having to disclose that.
Well, let me ask you this, because now we have a third party involved here. We have the Defense Department involved here. Right. And if he was acting like he claimed on Fox News that he was acting at the behest, or at minimal the behest, at maximum the direction of the Defense Department, he really can't claim any kind of privilege now, can he? Because there's a third party involved.
Right. I mean, if there's a communication between the president and the department head or somebody within the department and Rudy Giuliani, then you've then broken the privilege because you've invited third parties into that conversation. So there's a fine line, I guess. The question is, what's he asserting privilege about? Is he saying that the communications that I had directly with the Department of Defense as to what we were planning on that trip were only communicated to me from the Department of Defense? And to that, I assert privilege. And there's a thin line that maybe he could say something to that effect. But here's the problem with that. Look, he went on national TV and disclosed information about it by showing these texts and messages.
Right.
So he's disclosed information about these communications to the public already.
Right. So he's already disclosed at least a portion of whatever this thing is that he's doing, right?
Right. And now he's going to try to selectively assert privilege, and that's a problem. That's going to be a big problem for him.
There might be a difference between realistically and technically, but let's start with technically. Can he try to cherry pick what he can and can't tell?
He can try technically, because what he can say is, look, and here's what he's going to have to produce some form of contract, because legally we have, as attorneys, at worst, we have a requirement to enter into a contract. It can be verbal, it could be written, but he has to produce something that says, I was working for the Defense Department. He doesn't have to be their full-time employee, but he could be under contract. And they could say, we're going to pay you $80,000 to take this trip to Ukraine as our select special envoy, special attorney, whatever, counsel for this project, whatever it is. He's going to have to produce something that shows that he has that relationship with them, that he's under, quote unquote, contract. And then he can say, look, they're my client, and as such, I'm asserting privilege. So technically, yes, he could do that, but he would have to prove that, because to me, this seems like a fly by the seat of the pants type thing. This seems like they called him up. They were in contact with him. He wants to be the rah-rah guy. And he's like, look, I can go do this for you guys. I can go do this for the president. And then they say, yeah, go, Rudy, go. You're a pit bull. Go over there and do it. Go ahead. Dig up what you can. You know, it doesn't seem like this was memorialized in any serious way, like not planned out. And if it was, then there's going to be problems with that, because we're going to have to look at, well, wait a minute. How did Rudy Giuliani win this contract with the State Department or the Defense Department over some other attorney or, you know, some other entity, some other consultancy firm? How was it, you know, is this a no-bid contract? And how do they have the appropriations to do that? You know, are they allowed to do that? And under what authority are they allowed to do that? So I think this is some bullshit, quite frankly. I'm calling bullshit on
it. You and the president, huh? You should just tweet out bullshit.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, every day. I just shake my head more and more every day, for God's sake. In your own personal opinion, do you think that Rudy is, I don't want to say this screwed up, but yeah, let's say this screwed up, Or do you think he's intentionally playing the clown in order to distract? Because honestly, I kind of depending on the time of day, I kind of bounce around.
Yeah, I see it the way. Lost it because I've watched moments of
I don't quite understand, Frank. I truly don't. Like I said, there's times I think this guy's dead on, and boy, is he working his tail off for his client. And then there's times, then I think, good Lord, man.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah, I think he's...
What the hell's wrong with you? How the hell were you mayor of New York?
A different time, different place.
I don't get it. I think we're coming to an end. Before we call it an end to the podcast. Is there anything you want to say before we stick a fork in this thing?
You know, we've been saying for sporadically, but mostly consistent, to really keep your eye on the prize here as people who are concerned about our country that are. I think there's still going to be that time we have to step up and show what's important to us and stand the rule of law. I wish that we more of that in protest, but I get it. I understand we have the opportunity, but you know, there will come where we, I think, step up, whether that's voicing your opinion, senators or your representative calls, standing up. Whatever it is, we've got to show our support. So stay vigilant. Keep paying attention.
Fantastic. Okay, folks. Like we say every week, your time is very valuable to you, and the fact that you're willing to spend any of that time with us means a great deal to us. So on behalf of Frank and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. If you don't understand what that means, you are far too young to be listening to this podcast. So until next week, goodbye, good luck, and God bless.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Butchered Sports. Raw and unfiltered, the way you wish your local sports anchor would bring it to you. Find us on Twitter at Butchered Sports and on YouTube at Butchered Sports. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Thanks for listening to Holy Sh** with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, holy sh**.